Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Paribhattaranam Avyahata Kila Purushakara Sara Sambrita Dordanda Yugatidita Yugalapidita Mourdi Guna Stanita Viramita Dharma Pratipaksha Varhismatyas Chanudinam Edhamana Pramoda Prasarana Yayushinya Vreda Pramushita Hasavaloka Ruchira Ksebel Adibi Paraman Abhuyamana Viveka Iva Anavabhuyamana Iva Mahamana Bhupuje. Okay. Something like this. Translation. After Kali, Mahavira and Savana were completely trained in the Paramahamsa stage of life, Maharaja Priyavrata ruled the universe for 11 Arbudas of years. Whenever he was determined to fix his arrow upon his bowstring with his two powerful arms, all opponents of the regulative principles of religious life would flee from his presence in fear of the unparalleled prowess he displayed in ruling the universe. He greatly loved his wife, Varhismati, and with the increase of days, their exchange of love also increased. By her feminine behavior, as she dressed herself, walked, got up, smiled, laughed, and glanced about, Queen Varhismati increased his energy. Thus, although he was a great soul, he appeared lost in the feminine conduct of his wife. He behaved with her just like an ordinary man, but actually he was a great soul. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Dharma Pratipaksha, opponents of religious principles, referred not to a particular faith, but to Varnashrama Dharma, the division of society, socially and spiritually, into four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. To maintain proper social order and help the citizens gradually progress towards the goal of life, namely spiritual understanding, the principles of Varnashrama Dharma must be accepted. From this verse, Maharaja Priyavrata appears to have been so strict in maintaining this institution of Varnashrama Dharma that anyone neglecting it would immediately flee from his presence as soon as the king warned him by fighting or administering light punishment. Indeed, Maharaja Priyavrata would not have to fight, for simply because of his strong determination, they dared not disobey the rules and regulations of Varnashrama Dharma. It is said that unless human society is regulated by Varnashrama Dharma, it is no better than a bestial society of cats and dogs. Maharaja Priyavrata therefore strictly maintained Varnashrama Dharma by his extraordinary, unparalleled prowess. To maintain such a life of strict vigilance, one needs encouragement from his wife. In the Varnashrama Dharma system, certain classes such as Brahmanas and Sannyasis do not need encouragement from the opposite sex. Kshatriyas and Grihasthas, however, actually need the encouragement from their wives in order to execute their duties. Indeed, a Grihastha or Kshatriya cannot properly execute his responsibilities without the association of his wife. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally admitted that a Grihastha must live with a wife. Kshatriyas We are even allowed to have many wives to encourage them in discharging their duties of government. The association of a good wife is necessary in a life of karma and political affairs. To execute his duties properly, therefore Maharaja Priyavrata took advantage of his good wife Parishmati, who was always very expert in pleasing her great husband by properly dressing herself, smiling, and exhibiting her feminine bodily features. Queen Parishmati always kept Maharaja Priyavrata very encouraged, and thus he executed his governmental duty very properly. In this verse, the word Iva has twice been used to indicate that Maharaja Priyavrata acted exactly like a henpecked husband and thereby seemed to have lost his sense of human responsibility. Actually, however, he was fully conscious of his position as a spirit soul, although he seemingly behaved like an acquiescent karmic husband. Maharaja Priyavrata thus ruled the universe for 11 Arbudas of years. One Arbuda consists 100 million years, and Maharaja Priyavrata ruled the universe for 11 such Arbudas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Maharaja Priyavrata ki jai. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Yavishu Isha Shunyavari Pascha Pradesha Tarine Mancha Paupadarvesha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Dhamme Vyo Vashna Vyo Namo Maha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Ajanam Mitabhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamagaya Taksha Vishwambaro Vijavaro Vidharma Bhagavande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vatara Jantah Pravishyamama Vachyamam Prasuptam Sanjeevayati Kiyashakti Darak Swadamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tumyam. So we are reading a very instructive story of Maharaja Priyavrata. He is described as somebody who had a very strong desire for renunciation due to the association with Narada Muni. But despite of his strong desire for renunciation, and despite of his readiness to renounce this world, he was ordered by Lord Brahma, his grandfather, to rule the planet Earth. And he ruled it for a pretty long period of time. 11 Arbudas, each Arbuda is 100 million of years, so it's quite a long, 1,000,000,000 years. So, and the purport of this story is that, very important purport for every one of us, is that one has to be situated in the position which is most suitable for him and develop bhakti or his devotional service or relationship with God from this position only, not trying to artificially occupy position which does not really belong to him. This is a simple principle which is very difficult to realize in our life because of this ego factor. What is being described and depicted here is that he had some prarabdha karma. And even though the process of bhakti, the method of bhakti is powerful enough to destroy all kinds of karma, including prarabdha karma, still it is more suitable and more advisable to use prarabdha karma and to exhaust prarabdha karma through the normal process and simultaneously develop the transcendental side of one's personality. This is a very difficult sometimes to understand because when we achieve faith in God and understanding that we have to go to Him in a straight way without looking by sides, and this hear so much glorification of bhakti in our scriptures that bhakti is the fastest and the most direct and so on and so forth, and it's elevator, and you don't have to take the staircase to get to the top floor, just push the button, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you are there, no problem. So even though we hear so much glorification of bhakti and it's all true, still, there is a reality of our mind and body, and prarabdha karma is a very stubborn thing which is sticking to us. And even though there is no doubt about it, we can exhaust this prarabdha karma, just the process of bhakti. Actually, there is no need. And it may create a disturbance in the society. We have seen how this premature renunciation, or renunciation which was not really based on a proper understanding of one's personality, created havoc in people's lives. So the important point of this particular chapter, and the whole, in fact, the whole fifth canto, in the overall scheme of Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto describes the topic of this Mahapurana, which is called Stanam. And Stanam literally means position or place. It is described in the end of the second chapter, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Atrasarga Visarga Stanam Poshana Mutaya Mandandareshana Katha Niroda Mukti Ashraya. That there are 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and these 10 topics, according to some of the commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, divided among the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the first two cantos are introduction to the whole work, and then third canto is Sarga, or primary creation, second canto is Visarga, or secondary creation, and then, the third canto is Sarga, fourth canto is Visarga, and the fifth canto is Stanam. And Stanam means position, or one can translate literally as the structure of the universe. But in reality, it's not just the structure of universe, but rather the structure of human consciousness. There is a very important, very principle, yatha brahmande tatha pinde, or yatha pinde tatha brahmande. So whatever we have in macrocosm or in the universe, we have the same in our body. And in fact, in the body we have a certain structure which more or less represents the structure of the universe with a certain levels of consciousness. As we know from Hatha Yoga, that there are 7 chakras, and each chakra represents certain level of consciousness. Some people live primarily in their Muladhara chakra by eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The lowest chakra. Some people sometimes they go a little up to the second chakra. Some people live on the level of the third chakra. And from the fourth on, normally people don't live. Because the higher chakras or higher levels of consciousness can be awakened only through sadhana or spiritual practices. And the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the planetary system, different planetary system, which represents basically the levels of consciousness, of the development of consciousness. It's not just arbitrary, there are different grades of planetary system. And each and every planetary system which is there in the universe, certain living beings inhabit them because it suits their level of spiritual development or their level of development of their consciousness. Therefore, this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is very proper introduction to the whole fifth canto. Because the idea of the fifth canto is to show that you occupy the place which is suitable to you. And you try to develop your spiritual consciousness from this position where you are in now, not from some other place. And this introductory chapter to the fifth canto describes this particular point very properly in the story of Maharaja Priyavrata, that you have to really understand where you stand and at the same time do your spiritual activities simultaneously. And of course, a great deal of attention is being given in this particular chapter by Srila Prabhupada to Varnashrama system. And again, Srila Prabhupada tirelessly repeats, and sometimes we just feel a little bored. You know, I know, yes, Brahmana and Kshatriya and Vaishya and Shudra, and it's absolutely irrelevant to my present position. We're living in this day and age where everyone is equal. You know, from the great French Revolution, where this slogan was there, everyone is equal. And of course, it's a big cheating. It's the biggest cheating which is there. But somehow or other, everyone buys into this cheating. And the problem, of course, is to somehow or other, and Prabhupada, not without a reason, is saying about this Varnashrama, 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 Varnashrama. And he stresses this, he says this, that this is very interestingly, he stresses this in the purport. He says that it is said that unless human society is regulated by Varnashrama Dharma, it's no better than the bestial society of cats and dogs. This is not the point. To maintain proper social order and help the citizens gradually progress towards the goal of life, namely, spiritual understanding, the principles of Varnashrama Dharma must be accepted. So, Prabhupada stresses it again and again, and we have to very clearly understand how this mechanism of Varnashrama works and what is there for me. How I should apply the principles of Varnashrama in my own life. Of course, we can wait when some great acharya, successor of Srila Prabhupada will establish Varnashrama system all over the place. We will establish the Varnashrama communities and everyone will be heavily engaged in their occupational duties. But it may take a few thousands of years before it happens. So, basically, and Prabhupada is not saying it from the theoretical platform, he is saying it for us, and we have to understand what is there in Varnashrama system for me. What does it mean for me? And basically, very simple point which we have to understand about Varnashrama system is that it creates a strong and properly formed ego of a person. The main point of Varnashrama system, of Varnashrama institution, is to help somebody to form a proper false identity. We know that our material ego is false, but if the false identity, which we anyway have, is properly formed according to our constitution, according to our material position and situation, then it's helpful. And if this ego is not properly formed and we are confused, as everyone in this day and age, because everyone is totally, completely confused due to the, you know, printing press, which was invented by Gutenberg and ever since proliferated all kinds of literatures. So the point is that we have to have the properly formed false identity in order to develop the real spiritual identity. And that's the point which Prabhupada is making so clearly. And one has to understand very naturally the question arises, why do I need to engage my time and energy into forming my false identity if I will have to discard it anyway? What is the use of this false identity? What is the use of this whole gigantic institution of Varnashrama Dharma if it's false anyway from beginning to end? And the simple answer for this difficult question is given in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where a beautiful metaphor is given. And the beautiful metaphor is like this: if you are fallen on the earth and you want to stand up, in order to stand up, you have to take shelter of what? Of the earth itself. You have to take the proper situation on the earth in order to get up. Otherwise, you will remain fallen. Let's imagine a hypothetical situation. You fell down miserably and you're there on the earth and you hate this fallen condition on the earth and you really want to get up. But because you so much hate this fallen condition of the earth, you refuse to just touch this earth. And you're just trying to get up. No chance. No chance. Because even though you're fallen, even though you're in this position, you have to take the proper shelter or proper, how to say, properly, you have to properly situate in this fallen condition in order to go further, and go in order to go on. And that's the very important point of this particular chapter and the whole Varnashrama system, because if you're fallen and you refuse to form your ego, then what will happen, you will try to develop the spiritual identity or spiritual life from this confused state of material situation.
when you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're supposed to do in this life, you don't know what is your duty, you don't know what the life is all about, and you just say, Krishna, 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 I just love you. Please take me as soon as possible from this mess which I created. This has nothing to do with bhakti. First of all, because you're full of different desires which are still unfulfilled. And you are just completely desperate and you know that you cannot fulfill these desires and you just hope that, you know, you will fulfill these desires in the spiritual world. This is one mistake. And another mistake is that you mistake desire for liberation from the mess with bhakti, which has nothing to do with bhakti. You actually cannot care less about Krishna. Your own identity is not formed properly, and you can only enter into the relationship, into meaningful relationship with other people, if your identity is proper and you understand who you are and what you are supposed to do in this relationship. There is no question of you to develop meaningful relationship with Krishna because you are just completely dysfunctional and you cannot enter into any relationship, not to speak in the relationship with God. And at the same time, you pretend that you're pure devotee and you have nothing to do with this material world. So this is a miserable attempt to develop bhakti without really taking shelter of material nature. Yes, we are in the material nature. Yes, this is a fallen condition. Yes, this is a false condition of our life. Yes, it has nothing to do with our spiritual identity. But to develop properly spiritual identity, we have to really understand what is our position and use this position in the service of the Lord. And in the meantime, by using this position in the service of the Lord, or using everything which we have in the service of the Lord, develop our spiritual identity, which is a very difficult task in itself. So here, in this particular verse, it is very interestingly described in this particular prose, piece of prose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami very interestingly describes the activities of Maharaja Priyavrata, which he held on for 1,100,000,000 years, for a long time. And basically, there are two activities which are mentioned here. He enjoyed and he controlled. And we know, Krishna, when he describes the activities of a demon, or identity of a demon, he says, Ishvaraham aham bhogi, Siddham balavan sukhi. And he mentions this two basic or primary activities of ego. If we take ego, or false ego, the false ego has two basic traits. I am mine. And I means I'm the controller. I'm the controller of my environment. And my means I'm the enjoyer of my possession. And therefore, when Krishna explains the mentality of a demon, he also mentions the same thing. He says, Ishwaraham aham bhogi. I am Ishwara and I am bhogi. I am the controller and I am enjoyer. So, this is two ego traits, or two aspects of the false ego. And if you look in this piece of prose, and this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the explanation of Srila Prabhupada, we can see how basically the basic principle of Varnashrama Dharma and how it works. These two tendencies of ego. And the whole Varnashrama Dharma is about ego. It's about the ego of I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya, I am a Shudra, I am a Grihastha, I am a Brahmacharya, I am a Sannyas, this and that. But It is explained here in this verse how you take this position of ego and these desires of ego, this impetuses of ego, tendencies of ego, and you use this in the service of the Lord in order to purify yourself from these tendencies. These two tendencies which are there, the tendency to control, which is there within every one of us. We all have desire to control. Every one of us is either Ishvara or Ishvari. It doesn't matter which dress we wear. We have desire to control. And we have to desire the desire to enjoy. And it is said here very clearly and very simply, we know this principle, that Maharaja Priyavrata, he used his desire to control in the service of the Lord by establishing the proper principles of society, or by administrating the society in the proper way, or basically helping others to conduct their life properly. This desire to control, if we take it in a general sense, of course Maharaja Priyavrata was a kshatriya and he had a specific duty of a kshatriya to rule over others. But if we take this desire to control in a general sense, then this desire to control should be employed to control and regulate our own life. If you are a big Ishvara, and every one of us is a big Ishvara, and we try to manifest these tendencies in a very glorious and splendorous way, everyone notices it. So here is the application of it. You want to be Ishvara, first of all, you have to become Ishvara of your own life, conduct your life properly according to the rules and regulations of the human society, according to proper conduct of the human being. And this will be the proper use of this controlling tendency. And then there is another tendency which is there, the tendency to enjoy, or the tendency to be inspired. Actually, what is this tendency to enjoy? We want to be inspired. And that's why we need the opposite sex. Srila Prabhupada says that the association of the opposite sex is needed for our encouragement, for our emotional upliftment. Because when we have an opposite sex next to us, we feel very, we feel like doing something very great. Because there's always one spectator who can appreciate what we do. It's always this emotional kind of need is there, but this is the tendency to enjoy. And if we use again this tendency to enjoy properly, in the sense that we this inspiration which is coming to us from the association with the opposite sex or whatever, we use properly, again in the service of the Lord, this is a great use of this energy. You can sometimes see, you know, sometimes brahmacharis who are totally renounced, you can very nicely distinguish them because they have very gloomy look in their faces. They're totally, completely lost and they don't know what to do. And no inspiration is coming. Prasadam doesn't inspire anymore. You know, sometimes Sunday feast inspires a little bit, but not so much. Because no inspiration, no encouragement. Because nobody is there to appreciate the temple commander. You know, shall I do something for him? Not really. What is the use? But here it is very clearly and very beautifully explained, the human psychology of all the needs of the human ego. If the ego is properly situated, and if somebody is properly developing himself in the proper environment of the proper social structure, then he can be controller in his own right, so to speak, by getting strengths to control his own life and direct his own life in a proper way. And he can be inspired by the proper association with the wife. Wife, the role of the wife, very great role of the wife, is to inspire the man. There is a nice saying that behind every great man there is a great woman. And her greatness is actually manifested through the man. Men are a little foolish, you know, they need to be approached. Women, they know, they have to be behind, behind the scene. But actually, only because of their inspiration and encouragement, men can do something. Most of the men, they need encouragement and inspiration from which they take or get from the chastity and from the feminine power, so to speak. And by doing this, if one is properly established, one can be satisfied. And the satisfaction, material satisfaction, has a very tremendous effect upon our consciousness and tremendous impetus for development of our spiritual consciousness, because no matter how materially we are satisfied, and this properly situated ego which is there, it gets nourishment, gets satisfaction. If somebody is in his proper position, he will be happy materially, no doubt about it. But then he will realize a very important fact that no matter how happy materially, it just doesn't satisfy my soul. It just doesn't bring me complete satisfaction, and I need to go beyond this. The problem is improper social situation is that one still cherishes and maintains the hope, and he tries to hide this hope that he would get in some other way. It just didn't work out, but you know, if I had some other wife, you know, I had four of them, but the fifth one probably would be the best one. You know, all this crazy ideas which people have, you know. I know people, they are just tirelessly getting married again and again and again. They are 70 years old and they still have great hopes for... Why? Because everything is messed up. And because nobody is happy. And because nobody is satisfied. And therefore, it just sucks out our energy from our spiritual practices. It's just a big black hole. And in this big black hole, all the energy which can be used for our spiritual development goes there, and it's just a hole. So, therefore, what is extremely important and is stressed here, and you have to get your material life together, and there's only one way to get your material life together and to get some happiness together, is to understand your own nature and to act accordingly with your nature. Not to try to imitate. If you're a woman, just be a woman. There's no need to be a man and to drive trucks. It's not the proper position for a woman. If you're a man, just be a man. Don't try to be a woman. There's no need for this. Just use your material nature and develop your material nature. Try to develop material nature to the fullest extent, because if we have prarabdha karma, and we do have prarabdha karma, it means that we will not be able to dedicate 100% of our energy to the spiritual development. some part of our energy will have to be dedicated to our material development, and if we don't engage it properly, we will just completely destroy ourselves, because this energy will have a destructive effect upon our consciousness and upon our mind. So this is an important lesson which is there. And in this way, when you develop your proper nature, proper ego, proper material nature and proper material abilities, by being meaningfully engaged in some duties, occupational duties, then ultimately you will be able to transcend this and develop your spiritual identity. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting question which is asked by Vasudeva Maharaj in the Kurukshetra, when all the inhabitants of Dwarka came to Kurukshetra to perform the solar eclipse. Usually the custom is there that this is just a pretext to be engaged in some spiritual activities. You know, solar eclipse, yes, very auspicious, we have to do some yagya. But again, even yagya itself is a pretext to be engaged in some discourse. The sages are there, the brahmanas are there, and the householders come, and there is a lot of time, and they spend time asking questions and getting answers. So Maharaj Vasudev and Kurukshetra, he asks a very important question. He says, how can I be engaged in activity in this world without getting entangled into this activity? How can I engage in activity, because I know that if I engage in any activity, it creates some desire in myself. And desire means perpetuation of the same activity. I engage in some activity, the activity itself creates some desire, and this desire will push me to again be engaged in some other activity, and this other activity will push me to have some other desire, and this other desire will, and this is a vicious circle. So Vasudev asked this question, you know, he says, please tell me, how can I be engaged in the activity and not get any desire? And the very interesting answer which is given there by the sages is actually very instructive to us. This answer is based on one Upanishadic statement. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a description of human psychology and human nature. And it is said in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that there are three kinds of desires which every human being has. One is desire for wealth. Does anyone have such desire? Okay. So you're still human beings. You are already in a higher realm, but... So, it is said that there is a desire for artha, for wealth, for prosperity, for economic development, for being nicely situated, for having some jacuzzi and stuff. So, this is one desire. Another desire is the desire of opposite sex, of the wife and children and husband, and nice family life. Nice, happy, beautiful family life. Does anyone has that? I'm sure not. But this is the second kind of desire. And the third kind of desire is desire of the next life, nice, heavenly situation in the next life. You know, some future, when this Maya calendar will work out and then we will have some nice situation. So basically it is said in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that all desires which we have, they fall into one of these categories. And while answering the question of Vasudeva, when Vasudev asked this question, basically the sages have to tell him what kind of activity he has to perform to get rid of these desires. The answer which the sages give is interesting. The sages says, if you want to get rid of the desire for artha, for the wealth, yes, you have to be engaged in some work, you have to earn money, but in order to purify your heart from this craving for economic prosperity and economic development and so on and so forth, you have to engage your money, which you will earn, hard-earned money, into dana and yajna. You have to give donations, you have to give some charity, you have to do that. And you have to be engaged in yajna, you have to do yajna, you have to do sacrifice, you have to spend your money on this. You have to understand, and gradually, by doing this, you will purify yourself from this desire. And if you want, and that's interesting, if you want to get rid of the desire to have nice family life, this is a very interesting concept. If you want to get rid of the desire to have a nice family life, you should have nice family life. This is the only way to get rid of this desire. So have children. And very quickly you get rid of the desire. The desire will be exhausted from your heart. You need to have nice family life. And if you want to get rid of the third kind of desire for a better future, it is said, very wisely it is said, you have to engage, to be engaged into thinking about the power of time. You know, how the time is powerful and how no position in this material world can give you any permanent situation here. So this was the answer which was given by the sages to Maharaj Vasudev. And basically here, the similar kind of answer is given to the same question. It is said that Maharaja Priyavrata, by developing his proper identity and by engaging his material personality, he was doing everything which every normal human being would do. But Prabhupada, he points out that twice in the last line of this prose, the word eva, as if, is used. It is said, eva anavabhyumana, as if he was less intelligent. You know, if you look at his life, if you had some, you know, hidden camera in his home, you would see him being engaged with his wife, and his wife would dress nicely, and his wife would smile, and his wife would, you know, pat him on the head, and his wife would put some ornaments, and Maharaj Priyavrata would be very inspired. He would go, I have to do something great for such a nice body. But it is said that Eva, he was just doing this because he knew that this is the way to engage my material structure, my material kind of identity into this. It is said that Eva Mahamana Bhubuje. It said that Eva again, as if he was Bhubuje, as if he wanted to enjoy. But the specific word which is used here, Mahamanaha, he was a great soul. So his greatness was that he was not really entangled internally into this.
Yes, externally it looked like he was completely entangled into this, but internally he knew, I am a spirit soul, I will never find happiness in this. No way, no chance. Just not possible, because my real identity is spiritual identity. And I'm using my material identity to create the proper environment for my spiritual identity to develop. And that's why it says, Eva Bhubuje. Externally it was seen that he was trying to enjoy. Internally he was not trying to enjoy. Internally his whole energy was dedicated to his internal development, and this whole entourage was not really a hindrance for him. Anyway, that's basically I'm supposed to finish now, right? Thank you very much. No, there's question.
Yeah. Maharaj, what you said now on the end about this internal identity, identity, and before you were talking about developing this false identity, I still do not understand, because we as devotees, we are encouraged to develop from the beginning a very strong spiritual identity. So how to combine this?
The point is that we are encouraged, no doubt about it, we are encouraged to develop and to dedicate our strength and energy to develop our spiritual identity. But the point is that if our material identity is not developed or is not satisfied, then it will be difficult for us 100% to concentrate on developing our material or our spiritual identity. That's the only point. Our energy will be wasted or dissipated. Our mind will be distracted, because if we are confused, the confused person who has big material personality has weak ego, and this weak and painful ego will react very improperly on a different environmental stimulus or different. See, if somebody has properly developed material ego, he is satisfied, he is stable, he has some dignity, he is secure. If somebody doesn't have properly formed material ego, there will be a great deal of insecurity in his personality. And this insecurity will manifest as oversensitivity. You know, it's actually he will be internally very fearful because of the insecurity. And because he is not doing properly, he doesn't know what is the future. He's very insecure because his situation is not proper. His stamina is not proper. He doesn't have very proper place to stand on. And due to this insecurity, he will be overly sensitive. He will be paranoid. He will, look at everyone. Everyone will try to inflict some pain into me, hurt me, this and that. And we know this personality. And his whole mental energy and his whole mental concentration will be dissipated and wasted into these things. You know, he will always be disturbed. If you have a proper position, you are much more calm, much more concentrated, much more, kind of dedicated to what you're supposed to do. If you're not properly situated, then you will be insecure, and this insecurity will just, you will not have the steady determination in spiritual practices. That's it. That's the
what it is. And that's the role of one national institution of proper social structure. Proper social structure basically means that I develop myself and I develop a great deal of stability or security within myself. Immunity from all these external disturbances. And from this position, it's much easier for me to concentrate on the spiritual development. Did I answer?
Yes, and in case if someone always has taste for chanting,
that's fine. That's great. You know, if we can concentrate, there's no. See again, if we are on the level where we can care less about material situation and we are not disturbed by the material environment and by the people who are trying to disturb us, that's fine. There's no need to do this. It means that you are on a certain level. And Prabhupada says this, that certain section of the society, like sannyasis, they don't need feminine energy near to them to encourage them. They encourage result. They are, on the contrary, they are discouraged when they have see some. So if it's your level, that's no problem. If you're not disturbed by all this material, if you don't feel insecure, if you feel very secure and you can concentrate on the spiritual practice, fine, this is your level. But if you feel some insecurity, there is a good reason to think that maybe you have to change some of your material position. Even though you are engaged in spiritual practice, but still you feel some kind of insecurity, instability, oversensitivity, then it's probably good to look into this side of your nature and see what has to be changed. That's it. I don't know if there is time.
In this context, in context of this class, Colt understands that Krishna is friend of most materially impoverished, or that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is a friend of most fallen, because this appears, this confusion, it appears the most fallen condition of the soul. Maybe it encourages the soul actually to turn more to Krishna, that he's so confused, so bewildered.
Sometimes, but not always. Usually when you're so disturbed, you know, you don't have a very clear feeling of God's presence in your life. You can acquire this feeling of God's watchful and kind presence in your life if you're not disturbed. When you're disturbed, usually people employ material means to get rid of the disturbance. So that's what we see. You know, if you have very clear presence, then it's fine. But, you know, even to start feeling this, you need some kind of basic security, so to speak. But, you know, if it helps, fine. If it does help. But, you know, usually people, they become desperate. And in their desperation, they don't approach God, oftentimes. If we take our culture, in our culture, there is a lot of confused, fallen people. And we see that they usually don't approach God. But in the culture of Varnashrama, where this notion of God is very prominent, and built into the system from the very beginning, then all kinds of reverses they can have, you know, positive effect on the people. But if the culture is very chaotic, and chaotic culture means that there is no God in charge. The external chaos is coming from this understanding that there is nobody who makes any sense out of it, you know, who needs it. Then it's difficult to really, you know, take proper use of the
this fallen condition. It's possible what you say. Usually detrimental. Okay. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Nantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. J